Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Wins on another turnover. Goodrow drops it. Here's McCann, scores right down Main Street, and Hauser couldn't get a piece of that one. Penguins have erupted for a 5-3 lead.
There's your game winner, Jared McCann, his 14th of the season at the end of period two. Your game winner is your goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park, the designated cancer center for the Buffalo Sabres, urging men to get a second opinion at Roswell Park when they hear the words, "You have cancer." 8-4 Pittsburgh, the final. We're ready to get live reaction from the players. Here's Jeff Skinner now talking live at PPG Paints Arena.
Jeff, do you feel a lot of what happened in that game was self-inflicted with some of the things that happened? Because as Lance said, you guys were 3-3 and it was, you know, Thompson scores and things are looking pretty good, and it just happened so quickly.
Yeah, I think for sure. Obviously, they're a talented team. They're going to create chances on their own. And when you get a team like that, you can't give them any more than they create on their own. So, we definitely gave them more opportunities than we would have liked, and they made us pay.
I mean, as a group, how young you guys are, I mean, what can you really gather from this? There's only one game left. I mean, what do you take into the final game here?
Oh, you're going to keep working. Obviously, it's a team we've seen seven times now, and you got to keep working, guys. You have a bad game, and you go over it, and you fix mistakes, and use that experience going forward, and come back and have a good game next game. So that's what we're going to try and do.
If you hadn't scored a power play goal since your 40-goal year, do you think this will take a bit of a weight off your shoulder and take some pressure off you?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to change sort of how I play on the power play. It's sort of, that's just kind of how it's gone. And I mean, I guess it's nice to score a goal, but I think it's just a goal.
You have to really feel for Hauser. I mean, he played so well for you guys, and he comes home and that happens. I'm sure you guys feel awful for him.
Yeah, we didn't help him out at all. He's played great for us, and even tonight, I think he did a good job of keeping us in it for as long as we were in it. I think we gave them some chances that we shouldn't be giving them. He bailed us out a few times, and yeah, we're definitely going to look to be better for him next game.
We're all set, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there is Sabre forward Jeff Skinner. He picked up his 7th of the season on the power play, and that was Buffalo's 4th goal, but the Penguins just kept the offense rolling. They scored 2 in the first, then 3 more in the second, and then 3 more in the third, and they go on to win it by an 8-4 score. With the loss, the Sabres now officially clinch last in the NHL. They'll have the best odds in the upcoming draft lottery, which will be in early June. And unfortunately, yes, I guess that's good news, but this is now the 4th time in the last 8 years that the Sabres finished last. So the thought of, well, they'll get better by picking early or first. Have they? They're still right where they were going into the tank season when they were in hope of getting Connor McDavid or at least guaranteed to get Jack Eichel. They are nowhere better in the standings. They will finish 31st out of 31 teams in the NHL. And I don't know if the franchise, I guess I'd like to think it's in a better spot. Now, we know the tank year, the team was dismantled on purpose. So, yes, that particular roster definitely is not one that you'd say is anywhere close to what the roster is now. But is the franchise in a better spot? And I mean this just like in general, looking at the whole thing. The ownership, the GM, the coach, the players, the leadership, the ability to think that maybe they can play with what the NHL needs to do right now to be successful. I don't know if they're that much farther along. In the standings, clearly they're not, but there's some young players that are having us exciting here toward the end, but there's still a lot of growing to go for sure. All right, Drake Caggiula now live in Pittsburgh.
Opportunities like that, I mean, is that sort of a product of what you've been working toward here the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, for sure, looking at it individually. It's been a tough year in terms of goal scoring, and it feels good to get that monkey off the back, and a little late in the season now, but you'll take them any way you get them. And it feels good to, like I said, get that monkey off the back. But obviously the team situation is obviously more important.
Drake, you guys were matching them goal for goal for about 25 minutes plus there. Just what happened after those two goals when they got ahead there and grabbed that lead?
Well, they're a tough team to be trading chances with. They got loads of star power and can make plays. And you want to play a track meet with them. Like they're a really good team and they got a lot of guys that can put the puck in the net. And they're probably not the team to be trading chances with. And I think we got away from our details and what makes us, make us tick in a proper way. And I think we just gave up too many opportunities. We're too sloppy with the puck and it allowed them to, keep getting grade A chances. And eventually they're going to start going in.
Rick, watching you play as a Sabre, it certainly isn't from a lack of effort. What was it different tonight that helped you get on the board and get a couple of goals?
I think early in the game, I got that little break, and it gives you an opportunity to shoot the puck and feel the puck early. And I think a little bit sometimes this year I've been too passive, and it was a good opportunity for me to just let one rip. There was no other option but to shoot it, and I think that kind of just put my mind in the right mindset. And from there on, when you get one, you're always hungry, especially when you get one early in the game, but you got to be hungry for another one. And my dad always said it best: when you get one, you want to get two, and when you get two, you want to get three, and so on and so forth. And I was happy to get one and happy to get two, but like I said, the team result is obviously the most important thing.
When it came to the issues as a team tonight, did it really start with puck management coming out of your own end, just not clean breakouts to really put them on their heels at all?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get enough pucks in the right positions in all three zones, really. In the offensive zone, we didn't get enough pucks to the net. In the neutral zone, we turned too many over and they came back in odd man rushes. And in the D zone, we didn't break out clean enough. So all three zones, we can definitely clean up. It wasn't necessarily anything that they did that was so crazy that we couldn't handle. It was more so our own personal mistakes and being too cute and a little bit lazy sometimes with the puck. And as a result, you see the scoreboard, and we just got to be able to clean that up, and I'm sure we will.
I know you guys were so happy for Michael the last two games. I don't know if I've ever seen so many smiles on faces with guys being so happy for a teammate. But tonight's game, I'm sure you guys feel you let him down too. I mean, him coming home to Pittsburgh and playing in his home arena like that.
Yeah, we owe him big time. The last couple of games, he's been a stone wall back there for us. And it's been a lot of fun playing for him. And we kind of laid an egg tonight for him. He deserves better. We owe him. And especially being in his hometown, we definitely we got to be better than that. And, like I said, we'll get back to work tomorrow and finish the year on a strong note on Saturday.
All set, Drake. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Drake Kujula there, his second and third of the season. Jeff Skinner scoring, and Tage Thompson. Those are your Buffalo goal scorers in a 7-4 loss to the Penguins. Same two teams will meet Saturday at 3, as that'll be the end of the regular season. Of course, Pittsburgh will go on to the postseason, and the Sabres will be done as they officially clinch last place in the NHL for the fourth time in the last 8 years. For all of you listening on our local affiliate stations, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, including Don Granato's postgame comments, go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on Sports Radio 550 here on our flagship in Buffalo, more Paul William Belts postgame coming up. Final from Pittsburgh, the Penguins 8, the Sabres 4. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Bluger off the board. Sevier sends it in front. Hauser, what a save. He got over on Aston Reese, who let one rip from in tight. And the puck is cleared.
Well, rough night for Michael Hauser, of course. 8 goals against, 34 shots faced. But he did have a couple of nice ones, including that one right there. That's our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. Great deals are waiting for you now at your local Upstate Honda dealer. 8-4 Pittsburgh, the final. All of our moments and highlights, they're brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Brian Colziel back here on your Paul William Belts postgame show. We will get to Sabres head coach Don Granato in just a few moments with his thoughts. Pittsburgh out shooting the Sabres 34-23. You'd think with 12 goals combined that there would have been a ton of penalties and power plays, but there really wasn't. Pittsburgh was 1-for-1 on the power play, and the Sabres were 1-of-2. So only 3 power plays in total in this game that saw 12 goals and 8 for the Penguins. 3 stars, and none of them the big names. Gaudreau is star number 3, Kapanen is star number 2, and of course Carter, who had 4 goals, star number 1. Your 3 stars are brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Well, our spotlight review now as we look at the other team, brought to you by Jim's Steakout. No need to lace up a great food. Get it delivered. Visit jimsteakout.com. It's about Crosby and Malkin when you play the Penguins, and the Sabres did a good job against them. Crosby does end up with what he does. Even when he's kind of not being a monster factor, he still somehow produces points. He had a goal and an assist, but Malkin didn't even have a point. Malkin had a really, really good look, and Hauser made a nice save. But tonight, it was Jeff Carter and company who killed the Sabres. Carter ends up with 4 goals. Gaudreau, along the way, picked up 3 assists, so he was very good. I want to take that back, by the way. Malkin did get an assist on the last goal. It made it 8-4. But point the same. We didn't get much out of Crosby and Malkin, but they didn't need it. They had a ton of production from the rest of the lineup. As yes, the Sabres did score 4 goals, but didn't stand a chance in the end because Pittsburgh doubled their total. It ends up an 8-4 final. Okay, let's now go live to Pittsburgh, PPG Paints Arena, and get reaction from the Sabres head coach. Here's Don Granato now live.
Don, do you view that performance as somewhat of an anomaly considering how well you guys have played defensively? Because I mean, it sort of turned into a track meet, and that's not the type of team that you want to trade chances with, obviously.
No, I thought, we saw our youth and some inexperience because we thought we would be okay to be in a track meet. And, you know, I like our confidence and I like our thought that we can go score, but we didn't know what we should respect enough. Starting, you know, you could use the term puck management, but we just didn't respect the fact that we're playing against a team that if we don't take care of things the right way, the puck the right way, they can score and score quick and convert quick, and that's what you saw today. And you know, we should all feel bad for Michael Hauser in that regard because we didn't help him today.
Don, on a bright spot, Drake Kujula gets a couple of goals. He seemed pretty confident. Is that some of his best right there, just the way he was playing tonight?
Yeah, he keeps getting better each game, Bill, and that was the case tonight. And as I mentioned, you know, he hasn't looked like himself yet, and he's starting to look more like himself, you know, based on the history I've had with him. So I was very happy to see that. You know, it's tough in a game like this to be happy about much, but that was good to see, you know, for him.
Don, in past games, I've heard you use the term self-induced. Would that be a good way to talk about this game? A lot of the wounds were self-induced.
Lots of self-inflicted wounds, yes. And you know, once again, you know, we get another opportunity to play this team. We look in the mirror, look at the film, and you know, hopefully accept some responsibility and, you know, the self-inflicted errors and clean that up. That'll be the challenge going into the next game. And they need the points, obviously, the way our division is. So there's stuff for them to play for next game. So we know we'll get a good game out of them, obviously, with a lot on the line, and it's exactly what we need.
I was about to ask you, Don, what your process is going to be in terms of making corrections before Saturday, but how have you felt that your group has handled these moments of adversity where you do have maybe a bad game in terms of just the details and how they've sort of responded after that?
Yeah, the last game we had, it had a feeling like this was Boston, you know, 3 games ago. And then we responded great against the Islanders. And great, I mean, you know, we had confidence. We had the proper vision, collective vision and clarity on it to go execute. And I don't see that as an issue here. I think, you know, the film that we have today, I think the guys realized it midway through the game and couldn't get the game back. You know, when you allow a team in a game and they're, you know, you allow that team with a bunch of great players to be confident in what they do, it's really hard to take that back. Once the game is underway, you get the fans into it. It's really hard to take that energy back. So you don't want to give up goals, especially easy goals, because that other team is going to have you know, their confidence is going to skyrocket. So, you know, you start 0-0 and, you know, our challenge is to make sure we manage things better. And that'll be the, you know, in between the games here is what we'll look at how to do that.
First, I know Rasmus Asplund didn't leave the game, but he took a knee-on-knee hit. He stayed down for a little bit. Did you feel that was a questionable hit, and is he okay?
You know what? I believe he's okay. You know, sometimes something like that could flare up. After a game, he was fine on the bench. It wasn't a concern any further. And I didn't see the hit well enough to comment on it. You know, he was caught by surprise. It looked like, you know, he was thinking that was a penalty and held down for a second. I don't really know, but he seemed okay. And, you know, again, I didn't see the hit well enough to comment on it.
We're all set, Don. Thank you.
There's Sabres head coach Don Granato, his post-game press conference brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. Brian Colziel here on your Paul William Belts postgame show. Sabres fall to the Penguins 8-4. One more game in the regular season. Buffalo and Pittsburgh will play on Saturday after this one, of course, going the way of the Penguins by a score of 8-4. We'll be joined by Paul Hamilton here in just a few moments. But while we do that, let's kind of get a thought here on what's going on with the rest of the NHL. And we'll start here with our scores and our drive around the NHL. And that's brought to you by Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. Okay, there is one game going on right now, and already 6 goals through the first period in Edmonton. The Canucks have scored 4 of them. They lead the Oilers by a 4-2 score. McDavid, 2 assists on both of the Oiler goals. Draisaitl, his 27th. The rest of these games are all finals. In overtime, Chicago wins in Raleigh against the Carolina Hurricanes. 2-1, the score. DeBrincat, the game winner for the Blackhawks. In Boston, the Bruins get a shutout from Jeremy Swayman. Boy, they've got a ton of goalies. They've got Halak, they've got Ross, Rask. Swayman, the shutout tonight of the Rangers. That is a 4-1 final. Bergeron, one of the goal scorers for the Bruins. He's up to 22 on the season. On Long Island, the Devils double up the Islanders by a 2-1 score. Blackwood the win in goal for New Jersey. And Toronto with a win at home over Montreal, 5-2. The story in this one statistically, Austin Matthews scoring again like he does, it seems like, every game. Matthews hit 40 on the season. Now, 40 is an amazing accomplishment in a regular season. But remember, this regular season's only 56 games. And Toronto has only played 53. Matthews has 40 goals in 53 games. That's an amazing number right there for Matthews, who has really become the elite goal scorer in the National Hockey League. I mean, Ovechkin still, of course, has the talent to do so. But for Matthews, 40 goals in 53 games, he would be on pace for a 62-goal season if you put that over 82 games. 62. That's amazing. Pretty impressive stuff from Toronto as they pick up another win and essentially are going to now win the North. They mathematically are up by 8 on Edmonton. Edmonton has 5 games left, so technically the Oilers could pass Toronto, but it's not going to happen. The Leafs will be the one seed. They just don't know who they'll play, whether it'll be Winnipeg or Montreal in the first round in the North playoffs. All right, so there's your look at the scores. Our standings are brought to you by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods at Dash's Markets. I mentioned the North standings. Let's go to the East now. With Pittsburgh winning tonight over Buffalo, the Penguins improved to 36-16-3 and 75 points. Two better than Washington. The Capitals, though, have played two less games. So the Capitals technically still would hold the edge there if they win those games in hand. The Bruins, also with 53 games, have 71 points, four less than the Penguins. And then the Islanders losing tonight, they only have two games left. They have 68. So it looks like the Islanders may kind of be settling in on that fourth spot and will play whoever ends up winning the division. But my goodness, Pittsburgh, Washington, Boston, like who do you want to play there? They all have looked great. They all can score. I mean, I've been impressed with Pittsburgh. I've been very impressed with Boston as of late. But, you know, the Capitals can score with anybody. But Pittsburgh, to me, was a team I thought would fall off a little this year. I thought just the Crosby-Malkin regime would you're another year older. But maybe in this shortened season, everybody's got a little fresher legs. The more veteran, more experienced team maybe has a better chance this year. We know it's a grueling grind to go try to go through the Stanley Cup playoffs, but that's usually after an 82-game season and 6 months' worth of hockey. Here it's been condensed, and now only 56. So maybe teams like Pittsburgh or what you'd call more veteran-led teams, older teams, maybe they'll have a better chance. By the way, the Sabres, as we said, will finish their season with Pittsburgh on Saturday. The Sabres and the Penguins are the only teams that have played 55 games. And they'll, of course, both hit 56 on Saturday. Okay, for more on tonight's game, let's bring in Paul Hamilton. Paul, the Sabres, even with that COVID pause, they'll be the first to finish up their season here with Pittsburgh. Well, they'll be amongst the group, but right now, them and Pittsburgh are the only ones with 55 games out of 56.
Yeah, that's why people were afraid of the schedule that came out after the COVID. But, you know, teams knew what they were getting into with this season, and nobody knew how it would go. They were getting into the unknown is what they were getting into, and unfortunately some teams, the Vancouver Canucks are another one, the New Jersey Devils are another one, you know, that have run into these problems, and then, you know, you get the condensed season. Now, I think the Sabres are far enough behind. I don't think we can sit here and say, well, it's the schedule, and that's why they didn't make playoffs.
Right.
No, I don't think so. I mean, here we are, they're in last place in the NHL for the fourth time in 8 years. And it had nothing to do with COVID. And it had nothing to do with, you know, as far as where they are. They weren't making the playoffs if there was no such thing as COVID. Well, no, I won't say that because they would have been in a different division if there was no such thing as COVID.
That's true.
Because they wouldn't have wound up in this division. But, I mean, if there was no such thing as the COVID pause, if they didn't get COVID.
Right.
They still were going to be way, way, way out of the playoffs. And the thing is, they were playing the Devils and the Rangers before they got COVID and didn't play well in any of those four games. Now, they won a couple of them, but they didn't play. The bad play had already started. So, and then you get COVID, and that finished the whole thing.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the finishing 31st here in a moment, but let's just get in a couple of things just from this game, Paul. Michael Hauser's obviously been a tremendous story this week. Unfortunately, he's going to see 8 goals against and feel like he was the reason. But Don Granato and the players really pushed that aside. Yes, he definitely, out of the 3 games he played, this one was his worst, but the team in front of him also played their worst too out of these 3. So, and Pittsburgh, let's face it, they were rolling tonight. They made some nice plays. I mean, it all adds up to 8 goals against, and I'm sure Michael Hauser's not happy right now.
Nor should he be. I feel awful for him. I really do. I mean, was some of this game his fault? A little bit. You know, there was a goal or two. And if he would have spoken, he probably would tell us he'd want quite a few of those goals back. Dumoulin's for sure. But, you know, sometimes in an 8-goal game, you can lay at the goaltender's crease. I'm not laying that one at the goaltender's crease. He had absolutely zero help. You know, there was just great chances. I mean, he took a couple of great chances away from Malkin, some of their best players. And still wound up with the 8 goals going in on him. So I feel awful for the kid, especially since that happened in front of his family. It's too bad that couldn't have happened against the Islanders here in Buffalo and then him play one of the 2 games he played against the Islanders in Pittsburgh. And he might get another chance to do it. We don't know. It doesn't sound great for Allmark to play on Saturday, but the window has been kept open. But there's still a very good chance he could play on Saturday. And the Sabres have this habit of playing really bad in the first game against in these series, and then a lot of the time playing much, much better in the second game. I don't think they can play much worse as far as defensively, and some of the dumb errors that they made and the self-inflicted wounds that they caused each other. They did score 4 goals, and if you would have said before the game, well, if the Sabres get 4, will they win? I probably would have said yes. Yeah, if they're in Pittsburgh, score 4 goals, the way Hauser's been playing, the way they've been not giving up all that many chances, I think 4 would be enough. It's not even close. I mean, they wound up getting doubled up, scoring 4 goals. So, and they'd had numerous opportunities to make it 5 and 6. So there were some opportunities to even get more offense in that game. I don't think to get 8. But it was just the other end that they just were not paying attention to detail, had horrible puck management, and just gave the game away to the Penguins' golden opportunities in front of the net.
You mentioned Hauser's family here. Good timing here for me to get our Connected with Fans segment in here, brought to you by Nextiva by Premcom, the official telephone system provider of the Buffalo Bills and Sabres. I wanted to read the tweet from Mark about this. Mark wrote into me at Brian WGR just saying, "Don't care about the loss. Feel bad, though, for Hauser and his family who was there to see it in person. Hope he'll get to play again Saturday and hope his family can come back and celebrate what has been a great week." So I thought that was kind of a nice summary.
And I was actually just talking to my friend Julianne Pelosi from Channel 2, who is one of my workmates over there. And she actually is in Pittsburgh visiting her family and was at the game and actually got a chance to speak with the Hausers in their box. At the time, he had given up 5. And they were still hopeful. At that time, it was 5-3, and the Sabres had 2 games in a row where they had come back from 2-goal deficits. So, you know, there wasn't a gray cloud or anything. They were still hopeful, but she just talked about how proud they were to be there and how much fun it was to be there and how great it was. They talked about how great it was to see their son in an NHL game in the city of Pittsburgh, you know, where he spent a lot of his younger years. And she actually went to high school with him. She was 2 years ahead of him, but they actually went to the same high school together, so she's very familiar with him. And so it was nice to hear, you know, that they had a good time, at least until the third period rolled around.
That's right. Yeah, Pittsburgh scoring 3 more times in the third. They go on to win it by an 8-4 score. Brian Colzio along with Paul Hamilton here on our Paul William Belts post-game show. Okay, Paul, so you mentioned it earlier. The Sabres now have officially clinched last in the NHL for the 4th time in the last 8 years. They'll have the best lottery odds this year. Paul, do you want to explain to everybody just how the lottery odds work this year? There's a little change from previous years, and with Seattle in the mix, how that all works.
Yes, yeah, Seattle is going to have the 3rd best odds, no matter how the standings shake out. That's how they decided. They decided that they can still get the number 1 pick, but they're not going to have the best odds. they're going to give the Sabres and whoever finishes behind the Sabres, likely the Ducks, to get the best odds. And then Seattle will have the third best odds. So they're in the lottery. They have a chance to be number one. There are two lotteries instead of three this year. Remember last year the Detroit Red Wings were so far behind everybody, and they picked fourth. And I remember telling you that day, that's awful. There's no way that somebody who's in the playoffs, like the New York Rangers, and they were in the playoffs, it was whatever they wanted to call it. The statistics counted in the playoff scoring. They were in the playoffs, and they wound up with the pick. And here are the Detroit Red Wings, who are by far the worst team in the league, and they're fourth. That was just ridiculous. So they took away the third-place lottery. There's too many years in a row where teams in 10th place and 12th place and 13th place, like the Flyers and Carolina. I mean, when Buffalo gets Darlene, there's Carolina with the second pick, and I think they rose from 13th spot maybe, 11th or 13th, to get up there. And that's just not right. So a lot of that has been taken away. I think it's 10 spots now, and there are two lotteries. So the worst the Sabres can pick now is third.
All right. Obviously, after this weekend and the Sabres finish up the season, the focus will shift to the draft lottery and the draft, and we'll be starting to talk about players because early June, the Sabres will know where they'll pick, and then we'll see where we're at.
Brian, because there's not a consensus number one. The guy that everybody thought might be the number one is starting to slip a little bit. So, you know, I think names are going to come in and out. There's not a consensus. If I'm quite honest with you, if I were Kevin Adams, I would be looking to trade out of there. Now, it's going to be tough to trade out of there if it's not a good draft. Because who wants to go up to the top pick and have to give away what you're going to have to get away to get up there if it's not a decent draft? So it would have to be somebody who thinks it's a good draft and thinks there's a great player that it's worth getting up there for. But I definitely would be looking to get out of the pick and trade down if I had that opportunity.
Yep. Well, we'll talk more about what it means that the Sabres are in last for the fourth time in the last 8 years on Saturday's pregame. Sabres and Penguins are at 3:00. We're going to have a roundtable discussion, Paul and myself and others, that we're arranging for Saturday at 2:00 on the Paul William Belts pregame show. So hope you can join us then. Kind of a season wrap discussion here, but we'll obviously talk about just the impact of them finishing last again. Paul, before we let you go, let's talk about one other note because I think it's noteworthy. Austin Matthews hit 40 goals tonight in 53 games. He would be on pace for a 62-goal goal season if this was an 82, regular game season here. So him hitting 40, we know when a guy hits 40, we're like, wow, that's a great year. In an 82-game season, to hit 40 in 53 games, that's a pretty amazing accomplishment by Matthews.
And last I look, because I had to be able to talk to you live, I have to undo my internet and plug into a live unit here. So last I looked, McDavid also is on the board. He's chasing 100 points. I mean, 100 points isn't that common in the National Hockey League anyway. And to get it in a 56-game season is just phenomenal. And, boy.
He has two assists, McDavid does tonight.
Yeah, and I just sit there and marvel at how lucky some of these cities are. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers have Wayne Gretzky, and then they get Connor McDavid. The Pittsburgh Penguins have Mario Lemieux, and then they get Sidney Crosby. And the Penguins won Stanley Cups with both men. The Oilers have not done it with McDavid yet, and they got Dreisaitl and McDavid. So we'll see if the Oilers are ever able to win a Stanley Cup. I bet they are. I think they will win a Stanley Cup at some point. I don't think it's this year, but at some point with Connor McDavid. But, boy, the fans in those cities,
yeah,
to have, you know, Gretzky and McDavid, and then you got Lemieux and Crosby, it's just crazy.
And if you're a big football fan, Paul, I'll compare it to this. It's like going from Favre to Rodgers or Montana to Young, right? I mean, you get – Hall of Famer, all-time great, and then another one right after it. I mean, how lucky are you?
Well, they had some years in between, but who knows what Kelly to Allen could be. But there
That's
were
true.
About 10. No, it's about 17 years in between.
Yeah, there's a little bigger gap there, Paul.
had to go through some suffering to be able to get to that point. But, yeah, it's just crazy. And, for when you brought up football, I go, what Edmonton Eskimo story do you have here? That
I don't know who came after Warren Moon, Paul. I don't.
Yeah, we have Gretzky, we have McDavid, and we have somebody on the Edmonton Eskimos. That's where my head went when you said football. I go, where's he going with this? I didn't know he knew CFL football that well.
Well, I know Moon played for Edmonton, the Eskimos, yes. But I don't know who followed him. So I don't want to call myself a CFL expert, but
well, was Moon there when Gretzky was there?
I don't know. Probably similar times, right? Because he would have played late 80s, early 90s for the Oilers. Oh, look at this. How about the Houston Oilers, I should say. And then, so that would have been what? Probably then he probably played for the mid 80s. He probably played in the mid 80s.
78 to 83 with Edmonton.
Was
Moon. And Gretzky would have been 79, right?
Yep.
So,
yeah. So there was
around the same time they started.
Yep.
All right, TJ, if you really want to earn your bucks tonight, tell me who was the quarterback after Warren Moon on the Edmonton Eskimos.
Oh, well.
He'll have that. I know.
Yeah. Send me home without a check tonight because I can't tell you that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No worries. That one's a little tougher of a question here.
Yeah.
Some Canadian listener right now that knows the CFL, tweet me. I'm just curious. Give me the name at Brian WGR.
I mentioned Julianne earlier. Her dad played in the CFL with Saskatchewan. So she probably is sitting there listening right now and goes, I know that.
Yeah. Who would have followed Warren Moon? That's right. Moon, the best CFL quarterback, or probably Doug Flutie. Would he have went with Toronto?
No, there was a guy, I don't remember his name, who played for years.
Didn't Flutie play more of his – I'm sorry, Calgary was where he had more of his success, didn't he? With the Stampeders.
Yeah, but there was a guy who like us was a lifer up there that actually has professional passing records, and I just cannot come up with his name. I'm so sorry.
Well, I should stop talking about CFL
records. I can actually see him, but I can't come up with his name.
That's right.
The okay, quarterback Paul. That followed, his name was Matt Dunegan.
I knew you were going to get it.
I mean, the internet's a powerful thing, Paul.
That's true.
If you know how to navigate it.
Very good, TJ.
Thank you.
Okay, Paul, well, you said the word suffering. That's a great segue for our Saturday roundtable. 2 o'clock, from 2 to 3, the majority of it will be a roundtable. Myself and Paul, we're going to line some others up, too. Darcy Regier said suffering, and here we are. The Sabres have finished last in the NHL for the fourth time in the last 8 years. Do you think even Darcy Regier would have predicted that?
No, I don't think so.
Don't answer it.
I had in mind.
Don't answer it. That will be my opening question on the round table on Saturday. So that's what we call a radio tease.
Can I just ask everybody?
Yes,
to stop with the wisecracks about hockey heaven. That was said 10 years ago by somebody who's been gone for at least 5 years. It has nothing to do with anything right now. And it just I hear that and I go, you're embarrassing yourself. That was said by somebody who's not even around anymore. So let's move on to something
else. Is that your
else.
Way of saying I shouldn't be quoting Darcy Regier too, Paul?
Well, you can quote Darcy Regier, but the hockey heaven thing, like they're, this is hockey heaven. The person who said that isn't even here anymore. We move on to something else, eh?
Well said. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the roundtable. Paul's going to have great other hot takes just like that on Saturday.
I just gave
you, Paul.
So I'll have nothing to say. Sorry, I'll be very silent on Saturday.
Yeah. We wasted them all here on the post game. All right. Try to think of something for Saturday. Thank you, Paul.
Take care.
All right. Paul Hamilton, he'll be with me again. Special roundtable season kind of wrap up on our Paul William Belts pregame on Saturday, 2 o'clock to 3. And then, of course, the final game of the season, Saturday at 3 o'clock with the Sabres and the Penguins. And with that, we'll put a wrap here on this Paul William Belts postgame. I want to thank TJ Luckman, our network producer, and Kyle Powell on our social media and anchor tonight. Thank you, gentlemen. Paul Hamilton, a reporter. Thank you, Paul. Pre-game show hosts were Shopin the Bulldog, game announcers Dan Dunleavy and Rob Wright. My name is Brian Colesdale. I thank you for listening. Again, the final from Pittsburgh, the Penguins 8, Sabres 4. Season finale Saturday. We'll talk to you then, 2 o'clock with the pregame, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.